Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I wonder if there's anybody excited about another day, another opportunity to worship our God, worship our Christ. Hey, we want to welcome you this morning to the Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Evansville, Indiana. We're located at 867 East Walnut Street, and our pastor is Reverend Larry A. Rascal, Sr. We are the church where we connect people to Christ, to church, to their calling, and even to our community. And we're so excited that you've chosen to worship with us today. We just come to praise the Lord, come to give Him the best praise we have, and we came to hear a word from the Lord. And we pray that you stay tuned, that you may be blessed by the word of God. We're going to open with a song this morning that says, you are King of Kings, and you are Lord of Lords. And anybody know that He shall reign forever and ever? As a matter of fact, His kingdom shall have no end, because He will reign forever and evermore. Here we go, let's say King of Kings,
King of Kings,
Lord of Lords,
and Lord of Lords, and you shall reign
forevermore.
Forevermore.
King,
King of Kings,
say, and Lord of Lords,
and Lord of Lords,
and you shall reign.
And you shall reign.
How long?
Forever and ever.
Let's say it again, everybody. Lord of Lords. Come on, everybody, let's sing. Hallelujah.
him the glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, forever and ever and evermore. We are so thankful that we serve a God who keeps his promises. Anybody know we serve a God who will do just what he said he will do? If he said he'll keep you, guess what? He will keep you. If he said I'll provide for you, guess what? He will provide. Hey, you can take him at his word because he will do everything that he said he would do. There's been some times I said I was gonna do some stuff and then I changed my mind. I didn't wanna do it no more. But aren't we glad today that we serve a God who will do everything that he said he would do? Turn to somebody, right? Wherever you are, turn and tell somebody, Jesus will. Tell them, Jesus will. He'll do what he said, Jesus will. He'll make a way out of no way, Jesus will. He'll open doors that nobody else can close, Jesus will. He'll heal your body, give you a story, give you a testimony. Jesus will. Hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands, everybody.
Yeah.
To the top. Oh, say it again, say who. That I Jesus will. Jesus will. And who will make all my decisions?
If you know that Jesus will, know is real, type it in the chat this morning. Your problem is,
Jesus,
it don't matter how long you've been suffering.
Oh, no.
Just type he's real in chat this morning.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he is real. Yes, he is. This morning's scripture is coming to us from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in the generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. Amen. Bless the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the application of his word. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today. We always want to start off by thanking you because we know that you are a good God, that you are a gracious God, that you are an awesome God. And we know, Father, that there is nothing that you cannot do, that there is nothing you cannot handle. There is no way that we have messed up too much that you can't fix it. And we want to thank you for that today, Father. We want to thank you for fixing all our problems, for pointing us in the right direction when we have went the wrong direction. We want to thank you this morning because you are real, Lord, that you are not just some fantasy, that you are not just some statue that somebody carved out of stone, but that you are the real God, that you are the living God, that you are the all-powerful God, that you are the creator of heaven and earth and everything that it contains. We thank you, Lord, that a real God would take the time to speak to us, that will take the time to walk with us, to take the time to care about our problems, to care about our struggles, to care about us, Lord. We thank you. And Father God, we know that we haven't always been faithful. We know that we haven't always been true. So we apologize as humbly as we know how today. We ask for forgiveness for every sin, for every time we have turned our back, from every time that we have put our word down, that we have silenced you in our mind, Lord. But we again, Lord, we know that ultimately that we must come to you, that we must run to you, that you, we need you to save us. We need you to guide us. And right now, Lord, we are in a time that not only us as individuals need your guidance, but us as a nation, we need your guidance. We know that there are changes coming in the atmosphere, that there are changes coming in our nation, Lord. And we pray, Lord, in this season for your direction as we go to the election polls. We pray for your directions as we make decisions on how we will be governed. We lift it all up to you, Lord, and we pray that you order our steps. But more importantly, Lord, that you order our steps as a nation, that you order our steps as a people, Lord. And ultimately, Lord, that our steps lead back to you, that this nation's steps lead back to you, Lord. Lord, it doesn't matter who is in the White House. It doesn't matter who's guiding us in Indianapolis, Lord. What matters is who is guiding us, Lord. So I pray right now that you arrest every official's heart, that you arrest everyone's heart that has power over us, Lord, and let them humble themselves before you. Let them get down on their knees and let them seek your face, oh Lord. Let them seek your face, Lord, as they govern us. And Lord, I pray this morning before I get out of here that you speak a word to our pastor and every pastor across this nation, across your globe, Lord, to revive faith in your people, to revive hope in your people, to give them joy and comfort that you are still on the throne and that you got this all under control, and we're going to be all right because we know that our God is real. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen.
Praise the Lord. Again, to God be the glory for the things he has done. Again, we want to say we thank you for worshiping with us today, for joining us in this live broadcast. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful for all the things the Lord has done. Not just in my life, but I'm grateful for the things he's done for you. Because God has done some things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He's done some things for me, Pastor, that I didn't deserve. He's done some things for me that I can't do nothing to earn. And he did it because he's God, and that's just the kind of God he is. He's a good God. He gives good gifts to his children. He blesses us. He gives us mercy. And the Bible says it's renewed morning by morning. He extends grace to us. He's kind to us. He's patient with me. And I'm grateful. I found myself in some battles that I couldn't fight. He gave me victory, and I'm grateful. I've had a whole lot of sick days in the last couple of years, but he healed my body, and I'm thankful and I'm grateful. I've seen God work some miracles in some of your lives, and I'm grateful. I've seen God turn situations around in our lives and in our families, and for that I'm grateful. There's been times our backs were against the wall and seemed like we were hemmed in, and God came and delivered us, and for that I'm grateful. And every time I think about his goodness, because he's really been good, and every time I think about it, I can't help but tell him thank you. And I wish I had somebody today to just help me tell him thank you. God, I thank you. And I'm grateful for all the things you've done.
Grateful, grateful, grateful,
by every way you made. Just stay right there.
Flowing from
out of the depths of my heart. Come on, everybody, help us say it. Say, flowing from my heart.
Praise the Lord again. The truth is, sometimes when it's the hardest to worship, that's when you ought to worship the hardest. Folk have been leaving here, and we've got some loved ones and family members that want you to know how we are lifting you in prayer. Grateful to God that He's continuing to give strength. Want to thank God for my son-in-law and remember him in prayer. His beloved grandmother, they celebrated her homegoing last week. And Cord, I'm praying for you. Walter and Wendell celebrated their sister's homegoing yesterday. And Walter and Wendell, I want you to know I'm praying for you. To the Brooks family who celebrated the homegoing of Dr. Anthony Brooks, Adrian, and to all the clan, I'm praying for you. A beloved sister of our church, Sister Judy, celebrated the homegoing of a brother, as well as Brother Ed Smallwood. His brother went home to be with the Lord, and I'm praying for you. And Fatima, to all your siblings and family, I'm praying. We're praying for you. Danielle Weatherford lost her mother a few weeks ago in Washington, D.C. And I'm praying for you and your sister that God would strengthen you. We had a cousin who had reached a point in her health where she said, you know, it's time. I've fought a good fight, it's time. And she called us to say, I know I'm leaving here and I just wanted to tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate your children, and just the joy of being able to interact with them. She went on to be with the Lord, but she knew where she was going. And we celebrated her. Aunt Crook and Mary and Francesca, I'm praying for y'all. I'm praying for y'all. I know why I sung it. We sung it with them. I'm not telling you what I heard. I know what he can do. And God, our Father, we thank you for this day. There's some numbers still on our phone that we haven't erased yet, but they've gone to the other side. There's hands that we reach for, we haven't had a chance, because they've gone to the other side. And I want to thank you for salvation that is real. Sometimes moving is a tough thing, but it's not as bad when you know where you're going. So thank you for building a house and preparing a room for us. Thank you that you wrote it in your word so that we'd never forget. And now we've branded it in our heart that you've got a house with many rooms. You wouldn't have told us about it if it wasn't true. And so may your comfort be upon all of the names that I've spoken and some that I haven't. But God, you know. And for that, we say thank you. Now, God, it's preaching time, and I pray that even the words of my mouth and the motives and meditations in my heart, praying that all of that will be acceptable in your sight. Because you're my strength. You're my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said amen. Amen. Again, I want to say a big thank you to our psalmist, to all of the singers, and to the band for blessing us today. Y'all ought to type something, shout something, because they have been a blessing to us today. I want to invite your attention again to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When I was first studying 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in preparation as we begin to move into Thanksgiving and Christmas, I thought I would just lump it together and just do a couple of sermons. But as I was walking through it, it was so rich. I only got through verse 2 the last time I was up to preach. And today, Lord, stay the same. I thought I could get more, but I'm going to try to do three and four today. Here's what that third verse says. That third verse says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own." Verse 4, "They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing with us in this service to the Lord's people." Amen. I want to talk about the proper response when you have been graced. G-R-A-C-E-D. We normally don't use the word grace with a D on it, but I want to do that today. Grace, the past tense, that you have received unmerited, undeserved favor of the Lord. What we normally say, I've been blessed. God has blessed me. Well, I want to be a little more specific. Whatever the blessing was, it was an act of his grace. Have I got a witness? In the first sermon, A Picture of Grace, we got to see Paul saying, "I wanted to tell you about this church, these churches in Macedonia." And it was a picture of salvation. Because when you think about the churches in Macedonia, they were way on the other side. And we can't help but celebrate and recognize it was an act of grace of God to go through all that he went through just to save them and to bring them into the body of Christ. The mere fact that they're saved and are a congregation, a called out body of believers, is an act of grace. Beyond that, their situation is very different, because even though God was gracious, he was gracious enough to allow them to experience the same old bad weather. I told you that they had a severe trial, and that, Dwight, is a picture of grace. Mother G, sometimes God won't change the situation. He'll let you know what he can do in bad weather. And these people had severe trials, but they were a picture of a paradox, because even though they had trials, they had more joy. They had enough joy for themselves and somebody else, because Paul described it as overflowing joy. They had extreme poverty, didn't have two nickels to rub together or a window to throw something out of. But in the midst of their extreme poverty, they were still rich in generosity, because they did not feel that they had to wait for a ship to come in. They didn't feel they had to wait for their circumstances to get better in order to be generous. It's kind of like back in the day, hey Pope, old school, back in the day, you remember we had pop. We had bottles of pop. We collected empty bottles, took them to the store, got a few cents so that we could buy some more pop. And whenever we were blessed to have our own bottle of pop, it never failed. If you were out on the basketball court, somebody would walk up and ask you to have a little drink of your pop, depending on who it was. Sometimes you would offer them a little bit, but you watched them closely because you wanted to make sure. And then if they didn't do right, the next time you would ignore them. And then because they knew that they didn't do right the first time, you remember what they would ask. Well, save me a corner. And a corner was the little bit left down at the very bottom. In verse number 1 and 2, these people didn't wait till they got a whole 12-pack. They were generous in the midst of extreme poverty. They understood that God, in spite of the fact that he didn't have what other folk had been gracious. God has graced them. And you don't have to think long or hard to realize that God has graced you. The devil is a master at putting a spotlight on what you don't have. The devil reminds you loud and clear where you haven't gone, what you haven't seen. But the more you grow and as you mature in the Lord, you'll learn to be grateful for what you've got. You may not have a great big Cadillac. Excuse me, I'm just going old school. Gangsta white walls, TV antenna in the back. You may not have a car at all, but you can still stand tall, humbly before God when you remember to be grateful. You're gonna finish it for what you've got. What do you do? How do you respond when you know you have been a recipient of God's grace? Let me see if I can give you a picture of the grace. We know the standard Baptist answer is, Shay, it's unmerited, undeserved favor. Suppose, you ever been hungry, you ever been thirsty, and you went to the vending machine and you walked up boldly, you walked up close to it because you knew you had a few dollars in your pocket, and you walked up, and because you had some money, it wasn't a matter of could you get anything? It was just a question of what do I want? And when things were real good, you might do some chips as an entree and a Hershey bar as a dessert. And then you go on over to the Coke machine and you might even treat yourself to a cherry coat. But you could go boldly because even though you knew it wasn't dinner, it could get me to dinner. And you wasn't ashamed to walk up close to it because you had what you needed. You put the money in and you made a deposit and you got what you wanted. And it quenched your thirst and it calmed your hunger pains to let you go on the rest of the afternoon. But suppose, second picture, suppose a person walked up and they didn't get close because they know they don't have no money. And sometimes we used to do it as kids. We would walk up and we look to see if anybody was looking, and we'd always put a finger in the coin just to see in case somebody walked away without getting the coins. And we pushed buttons even though we know we hadn't put any money in it because we were hoping that maybe somebody had put some money in and did, or we'd look inside. And most of the time when that happened, because we were broke, we were still thirsty and still hungry. And suppose then someone else who saw your circumstance, you were hungry, but you didn't have the money to get something to eat, thirsty, but didn't have any money to get something to drink. Suppose somebody else stepped up and said, excuse me, and then put in a whole bunch of things and then let you get whatever you want. And after you got that, they put in some more and let you, you went hungry, you went thirsty, didn't have a dime, but because somebody else paid the price, somebody else that you may not even know, somebody else who just wanted to act a little bit like God today. Now you walk away, not just with something, but more than enough. That is a picture of being graced. And when you know that you've been graced, you know that you have been given more than you deserve, what do you do? How do you respond? How do you respond? And Paul said in the first verse, hey, let me tell you about the church in Macedonia and how the Lord has been gracious to them. And then in the third verse, he said, let me tell you how they responded to the grace of God. In verse number 1 and 2, that's God being gracious to them. In verses 3 and 4, that's God, now he's being gracious through them. Verse 1 and 2, it's a picture of God's grace to them. Verse 3 and 4, Paul is testifying. He takes the stand to testify, I want to show you how God has been gracious through them. Here's how they responded when they had experienced being graced. They did what was reasonable. They did what was reasonable. The text said they gave, here's what they did, they gave what they were able. That's reasonable. You need to know that God never expects the children of God to be irresponsible and to break their promise and not pay their bills so that the church can do ministry. If you think that God intends for a Christian to be paying their bills late, you're wrong. It's a reflection on the Father. But the truth is, and it's a sermon for another day, the truth is the problem is not with the Father. The Father has provided everything we need for the season. If you do an audit, you will discover that the problem is not that God hasn't provided. The problem is that we have misappropriated the resources that God has given to us. You see, when I was a child, I started off with one kind of bicycle because that's what my father could afford. But then my father taught me how to work, and I went to another level because that was based upon what I could earn for myself. I didn't start off with a car. I drove the 69 Chevy that my mama and daddy had. I drove it according to their standards. But then when I got a job and went to work, the Lord then provided for me to go to a whole nother level. But I had to buy based upon what I could afford. And through my life, season after season after season, I drive, I live, I dress according to what I can afford for the season that I'm in. The tragedy is that there's some people, Dwight, you done spoiled some folk, because some folk look at you and they want to start where it took you 30 years to get. You and your wife been working 30, 40 years saving and sacrificing, and then other folk want to start where you have taken you 40 years to get. Another sermon for another day. But they gave what was reasonable. What I'm trying to tell you is God wants you to pay your bills, but God wants us to live within our responsibilities. So here it is, here it is. The picture is they did what was reasonable. They paid the tithes, paid the rent, got some food, paid the utilities, paid for the phone. They did all of that, and then, based upon what was left over, then they gave an offering. Rewind, I'm going to rewind because some of y'all going to miss it, because some of y'all think that the tithe is the offering. No. A tithe is what I owe God. It's 10% of what he has given to me. That's what I owe him. And my tithe is not an offering. An offering is what I offer over and beyond the 10%. Now, I know I'm going to miss some of y'all right here because some of y'all haven't even reached the 10%. And so for many of you, you have not been giving an offering. Just because you put a check in the envelope doesn't make it a tithe. The tithe represent, is it 10% of what God has prospered you to earn? And just cause you write the number in the tithe on the tithe column, it doesn't really mean it's a tithe. I mean, it doesn't really mean that because God is checking. And if it's not reflective of that 10%, the word tithe means 10th. What I'm telling you, these people who are in severe trials and extreme poverty, not only did they give their tithes, but over and above that, they gave an offering, but they took care of their responsibilities first. They took care of their responsibilities first. I heard somebody holler, "But Pastor, I don't have anything left." Pastor, I ain't got nothing left. After I do this, do that, after I spend money here and there, I want to suggest to you, if you have nothing left, your issue is not an issue of income. It's an issue of lifestyle. It's an issue of life. But Pastor, I got to pay my own rent. I know, another sermon, another day. But the truth is, God, it was his design. It was set up so that you left your father and mother at the point you had strong enough wings to stand and fly on your own. I knew I was going to struggle with this. I knew I was going to struggle with this. I can't read what y'all are typing, but I'm going to move on because my point is, and we'll get to this in a few more verses. My point here is, I just want to tell you this: they did what was reasonable. They took care of their responsibilities, and then after that, they gave. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. What's so interesting about this, it's almost as if Paul, remember, Paul is testifying about the people in Macedonia and how they gave. It said they gave what they were able. And then he said, it's almost as if he said, well, to tell the truth, comma, they gave beyond their ability. They not only gave what they were able, but they gave more than they were able. It's almost as if he's scratching his head and said, I really don't understand how they were able to give at the level that they gave. Because I tell you what they did, they reached for something. Here's what God will do. God will bless you to be able to do what you need to do with what you have. But God has a way of blessing you when you want to do what you can't do for him. God will take a little and make it a whole lot when you want to do something special just for him. Hey, it reminds me of that key character in Hacksaw Ridge, that brother Desmond, who was a medic. He wanted to serve his platoon by pulling them, the wounded, out of danger. And though everybody else had went back to camp, he was stuck up on the ridge and night had fallen, but he still had some brothers who were hurt, who were in danger, and he wanted to get to them, and he would go back in the middle of the night, and as he would look around, he would grab one, and then he'd bring them to the edge of the cliff, and he'd tie them in a rope and then let them down. And though he could have went on down himself because he had gotten one or two, but he would whisper this prayer, God, give me strength for just one more. And he would go back and he'd grab another one. And once he did that, he said, God, give me strength for just one more. And all night long, he kept praying that prayer. God, help me do what I can't do. I'm tired. My hands are raw. God, I'm wounded. I don't know if I can do it, but God, if you give me strength. And God gave him strength all night long. And they celebrated Desmond because he did what a man can't do. I tell you, if you want to get excited, God knows that you got a little, but let me testify, when you take a little and put it in the master's hands, every now and then, God wants to know, do you have the faith to put it in his hands? Let me tell you what Peter had one day. He had an empty net. That's what he had. He had an empty net, and Jesus said, I tell you what, you drop it on the other side. And Peter said, I'm putting all of this in your hands. I'm letting everybody know I'm only doing this because you said do it. I'm putting this situation in your hands. If it don't work out, it's on you. I'm only doing what you told me to do. And when he dropped the net, the fish came in, and there was so many fish that the net almost broke. He had to call some other folk because the net almost broke. Because when you take what you have and give it to the master, he can fill, good God Almighty, an empty net. Come here. He can fill an empty vessel. Didn't the prophet tell the widow woman, tell your boys to go get some empty vessels? Have I got a witness here? And you take the little bit you got, because the God I serve, he can fill empty nets. He can fill empty vessels, and he can fill empty stomachs. Here's a happy meal, happy meal, happy meal on the side of the hill. How much do you have? We got a happy meal. Andrew stood and said, we have a happy meal. And Jesus said, give it to me. And when they put it in the master's hands, the happy meal multiplied and fed 5,000 and had 12 baskets left over, because little becomes much. Little becomes much. Riri, you remember when Grandmama, that Kentucky Wonder, she made one of her favorite dishes was a pot of green beans. And she'd stick that big old pot of green beans on the table, and we'd say, "Where's the meat?" And she'd say, "It's in there." Because we used to pork chops in the morning and fried chicken at noon. We said, "Where's the meat?" And she said, "It's in there." And she would scoop out a pot, a big old spoon of green beans, and then she'd cut a little bit of fat back, and then she'd cut up a little onions and get some tomatoes and cut it up, and she knew how to get us. She'd sprinkle a little sugar on them ripe tomatoes, and before it was over, everybody was fat, happy, and sleepy because she knew how to take a little. They reached. Here's the question. When you done paying your bills, you got a little bit left. Yeah, you can give some of that. That's surplus. But what if that's what you can do? But I dare you to say, "God, what can we do?" And be sensitive to the unction of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want to tell you. How did they respond when they realized they had been graced? Here's how they responded. They did what they were able. They did what was reasonable. Secondly, they reached beyond what they were able with a sacrifice to do what was not expected. And here's the final thing I want to tell you. The final thing I want to tell you, sometimes when you've been graced by God, you've got to reject the assumptions that other folk have about you. There's some other folk that have some assumptions telling you what you can and what you can't do. And sometimes you got to go on and do it. Somebody say anyhow. Because when God is on, who read, "If God be for you, who can be against you?" I'm going to show you in this text that they rejected what other people had said about them. Let me look at verse 4. Verse 4 said, "Entirely, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service." They urgently pleaded with us. See, Paul had put out an announcement, had sent out a letter to the churches saying, "There's some people in Judea, there's some people in Jerusalem that are really suffering." And since the churches that were started because of the missionary journey, that happened because of the kindness of the church in Jerusalem. And since we're one big family, y'all who are now a part of the church because of what the church in Jerusalem did, the church out here ought to be a blessing to the mother church back home. But somehow they didn't send the letter to the Macedonian churches. They didn't get the news. And the reason they didn't get the news is because they were already under a severe trial. They were already dealing with extreme poverty. And could it be that they didn't think they had anything to give? And so they were letting them off the hook and not asking them for anything. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes you got to reject the assumptions about what others think about you, because they don't know where you started. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know your story. And can't nobody tell your story like you can. See, the truth is, somebody assumed, look, I know a little bit about fundraising. Fundraising 101, whenever you try to raise some money, whether it's UE, whether it's USI, whether it's YMCA, whether it's a church, whether it's an organization, when people are trying to raise a large sum of money, fundraising 101 says, first of all, you've got to have a compelling vision. You've got to have something that is important. You've got to have something that is transformational. You've got to have a compelling vision. And then secondly, you've got to have stakeholders that are concerned about what it is you're trying to do. People ain't going to give anything. They're not going to give to something that they don't care anything about. But if you have a compelling vision, and if you have concerned stakeholders, people, and then you got to, thirdly, you got to have people that have the ability to give and the willingness to give. Because here's the truth. Some people are able, but they ain't willing. And some people are willing, but they ain't able. Fundraising 101 says you got to have a compelling vision. You got to have a good cause. You got to have stakeholders that can connect to the cause. And then you've got to have people that not only have the ability, but the willingness to give. And Paul said, these folk, they gave above their ability. Watch this. And they were self-motivated. They did it on their own. Nobody had to ask them. Nobody had to coerce them. Nobody had to twist their arm. Nobody had to bribe them. They did it on their own. They did it on their own because, one, they know they've been graced by God. And secondly, they gave because they saw it as an opportunity. See, some people, when it comes to offering, they want to tip out. The church I grew up in, it's so funny. We would laugh about them because people had a way of tipping out right before the offering. But this church is kind of weird. They want to know, preacher, when you going to take the offering? These people, listen to what Paul said in verse number 4. They were pleading for a chance to give. Preacher, when's the offering? Not so that they could step out, but so they could give. Preacher, when you gonna take this offering? They saw it as a privilege to share, and listen to what they call it. This is an act of service, watch this, to God's people. They understood what it meant to be a part of the family of God. This is for God's people. If it's God's people, it's my brother. It's my sister. Come on, Paul, when you go take the offering? If it's God's people, I know that Satan is attacking them. Come on, Paul, take the offering. God, Paul, if it's God's people, we know that they got to deal with some of the same stuff that we got to deal with. There's somebody over there saying, you can't hurry God. No, you just got to wait. You got to trust him and give him time, no matter how long it takes. But there's people over there that are waiting on God. There are people over there that are wondering, God, did you hear my cry? Come on, Paul, take the offering, because there's some people over there that are holding on. There's some people that are hanging on. There's some people that are about to give up. There's some people that ask Jesus, that are asking Jesus, just like the disciples in the boat, don't you care? And Paul, we need you to hurry and take this offering. Paul said they pleaded urgently because they knew what it meant for God's people. If they're God's people, they're part of the family. If it's God's people, they've got to stand by faith. If it's God's people, they know they're called to endure. If it's God's people, they know he's going to come. They just don't know how, and they don't know when. So Paul, hurry, hurry. Please take this offering. Because here's what these people understood. These people understood that when you know you have been graced by God, the reaction should be an openness to allow stuff to flow through you. I close with this. My son, and daughter-in-law had a surplus of coffee makers, and it was about the same time that our coffee maker gave up the ghost. And his mama has a boldness that you say you don't need it, she'll say, I do. Went there to see, to spoil the baby. She not only spoiled the baby, but came home with a coffee maker because it was one in their surplus. And she was telling me about it. And the next day she made some coffee and it was great. And on this particular day, I was up first, and I can do this. I'd done it before. And this ninja, it's a ninja coffee maker. And this ninja coffee maker, it has a reservoir. It's electric. You don't put it on the stove, it's electric. It has a reservoir, meaning it's got a place where you put the water in. It's got a carafe that holds the coffee. And then it's got the filter where you put the ground coffee in. I had ground the coffee. I put the coffee in the filter, closed it, had water in the reservoir. And then the button says, do you want rich or regular? I want rich, put rich brew. What size do you want? Full carafe, I pushed that. And then I pushed start. And went on and began to fix my eggs. And I didn't hear anything. And I went back again and I pushed start. And nothing was happening. I thought, okay, let me try this again. I pushed start, and then I noticed a red light down at the bottom. I didn't really know what it mean, didn't have my glasses, couldn't read it, grabbed my glasses, had on the red light, and basically something was wrong. And as I was looking at it, when I looked at the filter, at the bottom of the filter, there was a switch that said, it had a drip that was clear, and it had another drip that had a line through it that said, stop drip. The lever was all the way over to stop drip. I guess that's so that when you're changing or if you put into the trash, it won't get on the ground, but it had stop drip. I moved the lever to the other side that said it had a clear teardrop, meaning flow. Two sides, stop drip and flow. And when I moved it to the other side and pushed start, everything began to work. And I said, shut your mouth. And I realized that that was my closing for my sermon this Sunday. Here's what those engineers understood. Those engineers designed this thing, even though there's a reservoir, even though there's power, even though there's a program, and even though you push start, they have engineered this coffee maker so that the flow won't start until it knows it can flow through. Nothing will start until there's the acknowledgement. Not can I get hot water to you, but the question is, can I get something through you? And if I can't get nothing through you, I'm not gonna send nothing to you. Ninja engineers understood that the purpose of the coffee maker is not to hold it to itself. The purpose is to take from the reservoir and send it through a process so that it can be used by somebody else. That's what the Macedonians understood. They understood Paul take this doggone offering, because if it don't flow, I can't get nothing to me if I can't let something go through me. Have I got a witness here? Preacher, take the offering. Quick, take the offering. Quick, take the offering, because it starts with you. When God knows you're a vessel that he can get something through, then God ain't got no problem sending something to you. That's why at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, because God knew he could get obedience through him. So God's going to send glory and power to him. The Macedonians understood it. They understood it. They understood it. They did what was reasonable. They reached for something higher, and they rejected what others thought they could not do, because Macedonians understood the flow of grace. The first picture was God's grace to them. The second picture is God's grace through them. Who am I talking to right now, where you know beyond all shadow of a doubt, God has been gracious to you, but the question is, are you willing to let God send grace through you? And for anyone who don't know the good God we serve, y'all, there are some promises that are kept for the children of God. Not for everybody, but for the children of God. And I celebrate and love the Lord today, because this very day you can become a child of God. Jesus is our example. He was obedient to the Father. Later on in the same chapter, he was rich but became poor, so that we who are poor became rich. And you can become a child of God today. They understood the benefit, the joy of being saved, of being a part of the family of God. And my beloved, that can be you today. Why don't you pray this prayer with me if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior? God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead for my sins. God, I invite you into my heart. Save me, make me your child, and help me to grow in your grace and grow in your knowledge. And if you've done that, hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to the body of believers. Y'all, it's not always going to be like this. We're here, we're together socially, but God's going to bring us back together again. He's going to bring us back together again. I celebrate the day. He's going to bring us back together again. And we're going to have a family reunion, because God did. He saved you. He brought you close to him, even through the pandemic. Welcome to the family. Hey, go on the webpage and let us know. Let us know that you connected with us today. And there's information there that can direct you to show you how we can connect. We'd love to communicate with you and share with you some resources. And we thank God for you. We're praying for you. We know that God has been. He has been good to us. And truly, it's our prayer that he's been good to you. Hey, family, it's time for the offering. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I celebrate. Some of you have been so faithful. Some of you you've been stretched. You've given through Givelify and PayPal, and I understand that. It took me a minute to start paying stuff on my phone. Trudy would say, all you got to do is. Well, then one day I really learned it. All you got to do is, and so we thank God for you. Some of y'all wanted to give so bad. There were times some of you didn't even have an envelope, and y'all just pushed the money through the door. And we got some faithful people, and you need to know that nobody gonna steal nothing around here, because we got sense enough to know that's holy money, and God has. He's got his eyes on it, and so we thank God for your faithfulness. And so we're going to thank God for the prayer, and we're going to close thanking God for you. Again, we know that you could be worshiping anywhere, anytime, socially, online, with anyone. And so we don't take for granted that you have taken a few moments with us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Hey, remember the names of our family members who've had to say goodbye and celebrate the homegoing of their loved ones. We want to keep them in prayer. Know that if any needs that you may have, please keep us abreast. We want to serve you. We want to serve you. We want to serve you because you're part of the family of God, and we thank you for that. Now, God, my Father, we thank you for this day. We honor you for every song sung. We thank you for the music. Thank you for the psalmists that have touched our heart. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the technicians, for these your servants who've worked so diligently to allow us to reach people. Thank you, dear God, that all over the country there are people now that we're able to share this word and are able to join us in prayer for our loved ones whose hearts need comforting, for those need strength, for those needs that we know you're going to meet. We're trusting you to do it, and we want you to do it through us. Now, God, we open ourselves that you might not just send something to us, but God, you send something through us. Let the blessings flow through us, and may you get the glory, and may you get the honor. You keep us. We can't keep ourselves till we're able to meet again. We give you glory and honor. God, bless these your people. Thank you for their gifts. Thank you for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you.